Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome back to a brand new season of love, sex, and magic. I'm so excited to be back. So much has happened. So much has happened since we were last together in the podcast world. So I'm so grateful that you are here. I'm so excited for this new season of incredible guests. Today's episode is a bit of a catch-up with me, your host, Mel or Melissa Wells. So today I'm joined with my best friend, Alex, who is going to interview me and just kind of give you guys a bit of a catch-up and a bit of an update on what's been going on in my life. Because, spoiler alert, lots has changed. I am now in love and pregnant and moving cities. So, lots going on. It's all good. It's all good change. And time to catch you all up. So, let's dive into the episode.
Well, I'm very excited that I now get to interview my best friend.
Yay!
And have a major update. I was saying as well, like, I've not seen you for a couple of weeks. So I feel like this is genuinely a
catch up.
Yeah, genuinely a catch up, an opportunity to just like hear about everything that's going on in your world right now, because there's so many exciting, incredible journeys and initiations.
So exciting. Yeah, this is a bit of a podcast update because we took a little pause. Mm-hmm. And now we're back.
I've got to ask, the question on everybody's lips probably is, so you fell in love?
I
Tell
did.
Us about this. Tell us.
Well, it was extremely unexpected. Mm-hmm. I flew out to Costa Rica to host two retreats back to back and then spend 3 weeks at Christmas with my family in Costa Rica. So yeah, I had no time to be thinking about meeting someone. It was the most unexpected thing. I had 3 days in between the two retreats that I was running. And in that 3 days, I just wanted to unwind, decompress, prep for the next retreat. And somehow in that 3 days, I managed to meet Sean, who is now the love of my life and the father of my child.
Baby daddy.
So just a small update.
Wow.
Yeah. In the most serendipitous way.
Yeah, we need that full story. It's so good story, babe. Give us the full story.
All right, all right. So the story is I had these 3 days. Mm-hmm. I was in an Airbnb in Nasara with Cynthia, who does our retreat photography, Taylor Simpson, who was teaching on the retreat, and Sarah, who's the astrologer in the collective, and she was also on the retreat. So there was the four of us girls in this Airbnb for 3 days. And yeah, the intention was, we're just going to have some girl time. We're going to enjoy Nasara. We're going to decompress together. We're going to go out for dinner, etc. Cynthia goes off in a golf buggy one night. And these golf buggies that we drive around Nasara, they're like electric. Mm-hmm. And she was driving home from a photo shoot she was doing one night. And the golf buggy broke down on the side of the road and went from 20% to zero, just like that.
Yeah,
it's like dark. She's got no signal on her phone. She's on the side of the road. She manages to get help and she takes it into the place that's going to fix it, get her back on her feet. And when she does that, she runs into Sean. Now, the strange thing about that is those two are not strangers. Mm. Cynthia's boyfriend is Sean's best friend back in LA. So she bumps into Sean and she's like, what the hell are you doing here? And he's like, what the hell are you doing here? Like, I just got here and you're the first person I see, but you're also the first person that I just left behind in LA. Yeah. And she was like, well, you should come to dinner tonight with the girls. And he was like, sure, okay. And then she messaged the WhatsApp group. She messaged me and was like, is it okay if this guy, Sean, comes to dinner? He's a good friend of mine, da, 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 da. Like, I think you guys will all love him. Zero, like, there was zero thing in my mind that was like, ooh, a guy. To be honest, I was like, to be honest, babe, I don't really want you to bring a guy to this girl's dinner because I'm like so tired from these retreats. Like, I just want to unwind. And I ended up responding and being like, sure, fine, whatever you want.
This is one of my favorite parts of the story.
I think I actually responded in quite a passive aggressive way, which shows what kind of mood I was in. But I was like, whatever makes you happy, babe. Something like that. So I was like, I really can't be bothered to meet just some random dude. Anyway, mm-hmm. we go out for this girl's dinner. I'd already forgotten that he was going to show up. So yeah. I'm just thinking, like, we're just going out for dinner with me and my girls. I had like made zero effort whatsoever. I was just like in like a top and shorts, like I'd just come off the beach or something. And I had no makeup on, and I was just not wanting to be glammed up for anything. I was just like, this is just chill. Mm-hmm. And then Sean walks in and sits down next to us all. And I was like, oh my God. First of all, I forgot there was a guy coming to dinner. Second of all, who on earth is this? Because hi.
Love.
And we just really hit it off basically from that point. And at first I was like, this guy is definitely flirting with me. Mm. But I was like, I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if he's got a girlfriend. Like, I don't know how I feel about this. And then he asked me on a date. And yeah, it was just incredible.
I've also heard his side of this. And I know when he asked you on a date, you were like, what was it? You were in the pool or something. You took a minute.
Yeah.
This poor guy's sweating. This poor guy is like, is she about to say no?
So he asked me on a date and I like put my head back in the pool and I was kind of just like, you know, sometimes in life there are these moments where I just want to slow down time because they just feel so magical and like I just want to remember this feeling. Mm. And so he asked me on this date and I just took in the moment. I was literally just taking the moment. I was like, whew. And I said, yes, I would love to go on a date with you. He thought that I was like, not sure. Like, he thought that I was like, still figuring out in my mind whether I wanted to say yes type thing. So he was like panicking that I was going to say no, but I said yes. And then
God bless him.
We had the best date ever and kind of the rest is history.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Also, I admire you for being such a cool girl in that moment and taking that moment in. I definitely would have been like the wreck that was like, yes, yes, sure. Yeah, cool. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Obviously. Just like soaking it all in. I love it. How's it felt falling in love again, you know, going through that process?
Challenging. Mm. There was definitely like some meltdowns that I had with him at the start where I was like, I just, this is scary. Mm. And I'm scared of being hurt again. I'm scared of being abandoned and replaced. And all of this old stuff came up and I really had to realize that like this is a completely different person. This is a completely different relationship. And then we can't paint the new person with the what's that saying? We can't
same brush.
With the same brush.
I was getting
yeah,
you know,
I don't know. There's a quote something like that. But I definitely all those fears came up again because I think we both knew as soon as we met that this was gonna be really serious. Mm. It wasn't like, well, let's just see how it go. It was like, oh shit. Oh my God. And I think when that happened, I was like, oh, wait, I don't know if I'm ready for this. Mm. But at the same time, I was like, no, I am ready for this. And I literally decided that I was ready for it and called it in literally right before we met.
Yeah.
So it definitely took me a minute. And there was definitely some moments of like really having to like lean in and trust new love, because it's really scary to do that when you've had your heart broken into a million pieces and felt so hurt. It's really hard to lean in and trust again. But I was just like, this feeling that we have together is like what everyone wants. It's what everyone's looking for. Mm. And it feels so right and so special that like if we don't lean in, we are always going to regret that.
So it was almost like there was no choice but to lean in because it was just so powerful.
There was a choice. You know, I definitely, there was a moment where I could have leaned out and where I could have said, no, you know, this is too scary. I can't do this. Mm-hmm. It was definitely a choice. It was definitely like having to like really coach myself and be like, I think, you know, if I don't lean into this, I'm going to regret that. And it's time.
Yeah. God, so beautiful. Yeah. And I want to know as well, like something I really, really admire about you is like when you want something or you're going to do something, you're like all in and you bring your full energy to it. And it's so beautiful to see. And you do it with such an open heart as well. So you were given this next part of your journey, which was this call to be a mother.
Mm-hmm.
How did that unfold for you? Like, what was it like knowing, like, this is the time that this is going to be the journey that I'm going on?
It was pretty wild, to be honest. I mean, I've wanted to be a mother for a long time and just never been in the right situation for it, or with the right person for it, I guess. And what happened when Sean and I met was this mutual knowing of we're going to have a family together. Mm. And we both felt like, for some reason, we feel like it's going to happen fast. Mm. And that was really scary. That was really scary. But he was also very similar to me in that he'd always wanted to have a family, always wanted to be a dad, and like just not been with the right person or in the right situation, da 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 da. And so we kind of came together and we were like, we know this is going to happen for us eventually. Mm. Like, we knew that he was going to be the father of my children, I was going to be the mother of his children. And we kind of just said, well, that's going to happen.
Mm.
I don't think either of us expected to happen so quickly.
But, quick manifestation.
But it's interesting because we did feel like there's a, it sounds crazy, but it felt like there was a spirit baby that was like wanting to come through us. Mm-hmm. Almost straight away. Mm-hmm. It felt like we can feel that this is on the horizon for us.
Mm-hmm.
There was just such a strong energy between us.
Yeah.
That there was, it was almost like we couldn't slow it down.
Yeah.
Even if we tried,
yeah,
it was like just this energy of like that there wants to be a baby. And as much as like you can like rationalize and go like, that sounds crazy, like what were you thinking?
Mm.
It wasn't about, we weren't really thinking, we were just like feeling, and it just felt really right.
That is the perfect description of what I admire about you, is that trust of the feeling rather than just going into head and being like, what about this? And going into fear, basically, you know, having that trust in your body, having that trust in this greater plan. And I don't think it sounds crazy at all that there was this, you know, spirit baby that was coming in that was like, I am ready to come through, you know?
Yeah.
How has it been? I mean, let's go back. What was it like the moment finding out that you were pregnant?
We both decided to find out on New Year's Day. So we had decided to basically not, we were both so excited by the potential of maybe that I was pregnant.
Yeah.
And like, I had started to have symptoms, like my boobs were really sore and they were growing. And I was texting him being like, this is happening. And he was like, oh my God, this means you're pregnant. And I was like, let's not get our hopes up.
Yeah.
You know, let's just like chill, because like, we don't know. And because I just had like my womb, my ovarian cyst removed, and I just started this womb healing journey, which obviously I told him about, I had in my head like, this might take me a while. Like, I don't know how long this journey is going to be until I'm like fully healed and ready. And I had in my mind that like, maybe I was going to have fertility issues.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I wanted to be a mother so bad for so many years that like, this is bound to be a challenge for me.
Wow.
You know, I just didn't think it was going to be that easy.
Mm.
So he was like getting his hopes up and like being like, oh my God, I think, and I was like, just relax. It's probably not. It's probably just boobs, just being boobs and hormones. I don't know. And we decided to just like wait until, we decided to just wait and not test,
mm-hmm.
and just see if my period came or not.
Because
I was like, I don't want to just be like testing, get weird about it. And then the period didn't come. And then, like, I'm usually, like, bang on time.
Mm-hmm.
Bang on time. And didn't come. And a few days passed. And we went out on New Year's Eve with you guys. Mm-hmm. And I didn't drink on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And usually I would just have, like, at least, like, one glass of champagne, you know?
Yeah.
I remember our friend Daniela was like, why are you not drinking? Are you pregnant? And when she said that, I was like, maybe. Maybe I am.
Maybe.
And then the next day we found out together. We went and got a test together. And I was still like, it's probably not going to be, you know, like, let's not get our hopes up. It's probably a no. And we sat on the edge of the bed together and we both looked at it and it was just like, yes. And both of us were just like, we were like so happy. We were like crying. We were in shock. We were so, so happy. And like, I always come back to that because I think for a lot of people listening, like the thought of like having a baby with someone so soon, they would probably think, well, you must have found out and felt like, oh my God, dread. What the hell? What are we going to do about this? But like, it was just pure happiness, pure like exhilaration, pure excitement. Yeah.
Listening to that, I also think it takes like, I think it's also a testament to where you are with all the healing work that you have done on your journey to actually be able to be fully in that moment and fully in that joy and fully present to that without letting those voices come in, you know?
Yeah.
I actually think that in itself is a practice. I think we're so used to, and you know, particularly with the kind of timelines of life. In fact, that's a question in itself. Did you feel any pressures around or any worry around, oh, this isn't the usual timeline, this isn't the way that it usually unfolds, or like, what are people going to say? Like, was any of that coming up for you?
Yes. Not in the first instant, not when we found out. I didn't even think about any of that. It was more like maybe when we started telling people, we started having, I had a lot of support. We had a lot of support. And then we also had some people like, is this a good thing? Is this a mistake? What are you guys going to do about it? And that kind of fear or that got into my head for sure. And that definitely rattled me. And then I was like, oh my God, what are we doing? Like, are we crazy? And it's been like this journey of like moving from that fear and that anxiety and that kind of other people's programs of other people's timelines and going, do you know what? Like, we have to lean back into the trust of like, this felt really right. This still feels really right. And, you know, I think I'm learning that these timelines can collapse when it is right. And a lot of the old stories that I had around like, well, we have to be together for X amount of years. We have to get married. We have to, why? You know? And the other thing as well that I think has impacted this is like in my last relationship, where I was with someone for 4 years and I was so sure that it was going to work out, so sure that it was like forever, so sure that we were doing all the things together. We spent 4 years and then it's still, it was just suddenly out of nowhere, everything changed and it was like gone. And so I feel like even if you're in like a really long-term, stable, committed partnership, you just don't know what's around the corner.
Yeah.
You just have no idea what is coming up. And so I just decided, well, I've just been trusting my path and I'm going to keep trusting it.
So beautiful, like, and such an incredible embodiment of that trust with kind of navigating. So let's go into like first trimester.
Yeah.
So first trimester, you're telling people, you're getting these mixed responses, you're leaning back into trust. Like, what was that journey like for you?
Honestly, the first trimester was horrible. And I feel like I wish that I had been more prepared for it because I feel like I'd never heard how hard the first trimester can be. And I naively thought that like the further you are along the pregnancy, the harder it gets. Like the bigger the bump, the more hard it is.
Well, right? That would make sense, you know? You'd think logically like...
Yes,
yeah.
But it's a lie.
Yeah. I now know this. Right. Secondhand from you, I now definitely know this.
It's a lie. It's the first 3 months. I mean, obviously, I don't know what the last 3 months are going to be like, but definitely the first 3 months are so, so hard because you're going through the most change.
Yeah.
Your body's literally creating something from nothing. You know, an entire human being, organs, bones, blood systems, brain, eyeballs, like everything's being created in that first 3 months, really. So the hormonal changes, you know, I'm not someone that ever gets low or like I've never really struggled with depression. But like in that first trimester, there were days where I felt depressed. There were times where I felt so anxious, questioned everything. You know, and there were times where I had to cancel even just like showing up for a meeting with my team. Like I was just like, I don't feel up to it. Yeah. I just can't show up on Zoom. Even people that I see like all the time and talk to all the time, I was like, I just can't. And I remember like being invited out to see you guys and like come around to your place. And I was just like, I don't even feel up for that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even feel up for seeing people. I just wanted to be in this like cave. And even with Sean, you know, bless him, he's trying to be as supportive and as attentive as possible. And I was like, I just, can you just give me some space? Like, I just don't touch me like that. Like, just don't kiss me for, like, I just need to be alone. And it, my body was like telling me, I just want to be in my cave. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to be alone in my cave to kind of go through this by myself. But thankfully that all shifted when I entered into the second trimester. And I mean, hats off to Sean, because bless him, like, he has been so supportive and so loving and so patient and so attentive. And that first trimester is horrible. Like, I've spoken to a lot of pregnant couples who fight a lot in that first trimester. You know, women that get like really, you know, a lot of rage comes up, or like just crying all the time over everything.
Yeah.
And so I really want people to hear this, that like, that's, you're not going crazy, you're just pregnant. And that first trimester is hard. At least it really was for me.
I do have to say, because I've not said it yet, but Sean is the most epic guy. And seeing you guys together, like, just the love and the joy that you have when you're together is just so, so beautiful and like such incredible light energy. But coming back to this kind of like first trimester roller coaster initiation ceremony.
Yeah.
Now that you've been through it once and now you have kind of come out the other side of that, if you were to go through it again, or if someone's in that first trimester right now and they're like feeling all over the place, like, how would you navigate that? Or like, what advice would you give to people in that situation?
Yeah, I think firstly, yes, Sean is such a sweetheart, and it does feel very easy and very light and very joyful and very fun and very playful. And what I love about him is he makes me laugh constantly and reminds me to laugh and play. And it feels like we're just always having a good time together, you know, never feels like too serious. Even though we can get serious, obviously, and we've had a lot of serious conversations, obviously. He always manages to make me laugh. He always manages to put a smile on my face, which is really nice. So, yes, first trimester advice. I think if you are in a position to do so, you want to clear things off your calendar that aren't necessities, or like maybe social things. Just rethink what you're saying yes to in that time, because I woke up in the mornings and I just didn't know what I was going to get from one day to the next. I didn't know if I was going to want to spend the day in bed. I didn't know if I was going to want to eat. I didn't know if I was going to be throwing up. You know, you just don't know. So I would be tentative with what you're saying yes to. I mean, I went on a trip, birthday trip to the Bahamas with you girls, and then Sean came out. So it was like a double Bahamas trip. And obviously I couldn't reschedule that because that was a birthday trip. But I spent a lot of the time on that trip feeling very nauseous and very wiped out, you know. So if you can reschedule things, I would say try and reschedule things that require a lot of energy for when you're in your second trimester. Like right now I'm in my second and I'm doing all these podcast shoots and it's great. In the first trimester, I wouldn't have been able to do one. Mm. So I don't want to be dramatic, guys. But just see if you can reschedule stuff on your calendar, I would say. Yeah.
I think that leads to a really, and I know this is a question that I actually really want to know the answer to as well. Like, how are you navigating? Obviously, you have this incredible business. You support so many amazing women. How are you navigating continuing to do that? And the business is still growing whilst also growing a baby. How are you moving through that?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. So honestly, like for me, we spoke about this on the After Dark episode, but for me, like true success and a big part of my purpose has always felt like motherhood. So when I knew that I was pregnant, one of the first things that I did was have a call with my team and be like, we're changing the whole plan for this year.
Wow.
You know, all of these launches that we had planned, all these new programs that we were going to roll out, we're scrapping it. We're starting from scratch because this is the most important thing to me right now. So there was like no part of me that was like, we're just going to push on and we're going to do. I was just like, you know, we have to completely remap out the calendar because I want to, I had a very clear vision of how I wanted to feel in my pregnancy. And that was, I wanted to feel relaxed. I wanted to feel spacious. I wanted to be in receiving mode. the last thing that I wanted to feel in pregnancy was burned out, stressed, overwhelmed, overworked. And I'm so grateful to past Mel who put in the work so that present Mel can have that spaciousness and has the structures and the systems built inside the company so that I'm not just go, so that I can go, okay, let's revisit this. And so, yeah, we canceled a lot of things. There's a lot of programs that I was in the process of building out that I put on hold. Mm-hmm. There were things that were being developed that I just said, pause.
Yeah.
Not right now. Mm-hmm. Focus on the baby, focus on the pregnancy. And I've been really leaning into a lot of my team and the stuff that I've already got going. Mm-hmm. So like things that I've already got going, the membership, the queendom, the podcast, mm-hmm. Rather than feeling like I need to create something new mm-hmm. because I'm creating a baby, right? So like that's taking up a lot of creative energy.
Yeah.
But I must admit it's been hard for me a little bit because I have had that pang of, oh, I want to create more. Like I want to be creating something new. And I miss that feeling of like a new project. And I have to like remind myself of like, this is the new project.
Got a very right big here. Project going on, babe.
Yeah.
With that, do you think it's actually been kind of a helpful journey as well? Because I think something that I see in businesses sometimes is like a focus on new all the time mm-hmm. and not necessarily looking at where to streamline things or where things could be done better. Do you feel like this has been actually quite helpful in some ways to your business?
Oh, definitely. It's definitely made me rethink like a lot of the things that I had planned because, I don't feel like success is having a million different things going on. Oftentimes the people that we see that are doing really well in life and business have chosen to simplify. They've chosen to focus on just one thing or just a couple things that actually make the most impact mm-hmm. and that they feel the most lit up by. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely made me go, actually, when we zoom out, when we simplify, we can actually amplify the impact because we're putting our attention on less all the things.
Yeah. Simplify to amplify. I'm seeing that as like an Instagram post already.
That wasn't mine. I think that was Marie Forleo, actually.
I love it.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. As someone who has received the most profound experiences sitting with Indigenous healers and teachers in ceremony and integrating their wisdom, tools, and practices in my life, it's really important for me to always express how this medicine is not anyone else's to share except for the Indigenous. And a brand that really honors this with every product they put out into the world is Four Visions Market. Selling the highest quality of spiritual tools, jewels, and artwork, Four Visions Market empower and support more than 30 different Indigenous artists and their families. So as a customer, you know that you are putting profit directly back into the hands of the artisan, the tribes, and the healers who offer their art and tools on Four Visions Market. Last year alone, Four Visions sent over $700,000 back to the Amazon jungles. How incredible is that? I've been shopping there for ages, using their tools for deep connection to the spirits, to animals, and to Mother Nature, as well as cleansing and powerfully healing my body, mind, and soul. More recently, I've loved using my rose quartz massager for sending my healing love to my little starseed. You can support the work of Four Visions Market by shopping their tools and art today and receive 10% off your order using the code MELWELLS at checkout.
As part of this journey of motherhood, this makes me sad to talk about the Atlantis Palace.
Yeah.
Is going to be left.
I know. I'm so sad. I'm so sad about that. I love this place so much. I think I knew when I moved to Miami that this was going to be the final phase of my maiden. Mm. I kind of knew that. I was like, and that's why I took so much time before I started dating again and getting back into like the scene of like trying to meet people, because I think I knew that like my next relationship was going to be serious, very serious, and like family, you know? So I always knew that Miami wasn't going to be the place that I raised babies.
Yeah.
So I moved here knowing that mm-hmm. and knowing that it was going to be, you know, a short-term thing. And I've loved my time here so much. I've really learned the power of sisterhood. Mm-hmm. Community here has been incredible. We've had so much fun. I've met so many amazing people. We've had so many great times. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've been going through this shift, obviously, in my body, where when you have a baby to think about, it's not about where do I want to live anymore. It's like, where's going to be best for the baby, you know? And it's interesting how that shift has already happened in me. So it's no longer about like, where do I feel like the most, like, you know, we were initially like looking at Miami, looking at LA, and it just, for us, it was like, there wasn't enough young families, communities mm-hmm. that are being raised in the way that we want to raise this baby boy. And so it's probably no surprise that we chose Austin, because such a huge spiritual community there, so many families, mm-hmm. so many of my friends that are pregnant or having babies. And it just felt like this is where we're going to be the most supported for that. And I've had this like feeling in my body of, in the first trimester, the feeling in my body was like this deep yearning to be like alone mm-hmm. in a cave. And then in the second trimester, the feeling in my body is this deep yearning to be around mothers and babies mm-hmm. and like this kind of ancient memory coded into my bones that feels like this remembrance of like many mothers raising many children and community living. And at the moment, it feels like Austin's where I'm going to get the most of that, and grateful to have the freedom to be able to choose.
Mm. So how are you feeling about that move? I know you've talked a little bit about like what's led to it, but how are you feeling about Austin being the next chapter?
I'm feeling excited. It's very different, mm. but it feels very wholesome. It feels very nourishing. It feels like we're going to be welcomed into the Austin community with a big, big wide hug. Mm. And the people there are so friendly, yeah. so friendly. Yeah, it feels good, and it feels really good for me because I really want a home birth. I really want it as natural as possible, no medical intervention if it can be helped. And so it feels really good for me to now know where that home's going to be and where that nest is going to be.
I love that. Weren't you saying where you're moving, like there's been so many home births in the area as well?
Yeah. The midwives that we've been talking to, like I told them the area and they were like, oh, perfect. So many babies. And I was like, great. Whereas like the me a few years ago, I wouldn't want to move to somewhere that's just like full of families and babies. I want to move to where like the best spots are to go out and eat and do all the things. And now I'm like, oh, good. Lots of babies.
But this is why it's been, Miami's getting like you said, the perfect final hurrah of that mm-hmm. phase of life. You know, it's the perfect place to do that. And then Austin, like you said, like the community is incredible. There's going to be so many amazing people around you. Yeah. So many mamas around you as well. So many families, yeah. which is going to be beautiful.
And you're going to come out soon?
Yes. Yes. We probably will fill you there. It tends to be the way.
Yeah.
With that as well, you're having a little boy.
Yes.
Sometimes when I'm talking about the baby, I want to make sure I'm not like saying
the name.
Or saying things I shouldn't say. I'm like, what can I?
Yeah.
Everyone knows it's a boy, so I'm not giving anything away there. Yeah. So you're having a little boy. How does it feel having a boy and bringing that male energy into the world?
Yeah. I think I would have always assumed that I would have a girl first mm-hmm. because just of all the work that I've done with women over the years and with the divine feminine and passing certain things down the female line. Mm-hmm. And when we found out that we were having a boy, I think we were both surprised because we both thought it was a girl. And then finding out that it was a boy, actually, I would say we thought it was a girl right at the beginning. And then as time went on, we started feeling more boy vibes. Mm. But I feel like the reason that I've been chosen by this spirit, this boy spirit to come into the world, is because I think I've done a lot of healing around the feminine. And I actually think for both me and Sean, probably our biggest teachings and our biggest lessons as parents, as a couple, are going to come from the masculine side, you know. And I like to think that my dad has something to do with that, you know, as well. You know, my dad passed away like almost 10 years ago. And I like to think that maybe there's an aspect of his soul that's coming through in this new baby. Mm. But I definitely feel I'm going to learn a lot more from the masculine, mm-hmm. from a boy and how to raise a boy. That's going to teach me a hell of a lot more. Mm. I feel like with a girl, it'd be easier for me, mm. you know? So it's good that I have a boy mm. first. It's going to be, I'm going to find it more challenging, I think, mm. which I'm like, of course.
Always the richest lessons. I want the challenge. Yeah.
I want the challenge. I want the biggest lessons. Like, yeah. And I also love the idea of having a boy first to like be the eldest and the protector. And mm. So I like that.
Big brother energy you can't beat.
Yeah, I always wanted a big brother.
Although if you have a girl next, she's going to be trying to flirt with all his mates and then there's going to be that whole situation.
I hadn't even thought about that.
I was always like, it would have been quite cool to have an older brother because I could have just flirted with all his friends. So I was definitely going there.
That is hilarious. That didn't cross my mind, but I love that. I love that. But yeah, I'm definitely excited. I feel like it's a huge responsibility to raise a boy in this world, and I'm really excited about it.
Incredible. And when you're talking about lessons as well, I know you've always been so passionate about schooling and education and the way that things need to shift and the way that things need to change. Now that you're bringing a child into this world and into the education system, what's that done to your feelings around education? Like, have you already been thinking about the ways that you're going to go about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's amplified the values that I already had mm-hmm. around the system, let's say, especially the medical system, the education system, the school system, etc. And even just being pregnant, it's definitely made me feel more protective mm-hmm. of the indoctrination that can happen and wanting to do things in a much more natural, holistic way. So again, that's why Austin feels like a good fit, because we don't just want to do things the way that our parents necessarily did it. You know, mm-hmm. we want to create a new way. And I think that's what this new paradigm is about, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like if you are gifted with a child coming into this world at this time, we are literally reinventing the way things have been done. Mm-hmm. We're getting to do things in a completely new way. We're getting to do things outside of the system. We're getting to do things that in a lot more of a holistic and spiritual way, in a lot more of an integrated and connected way. And I think that's a huge responsibility. And I think it's really exciting because it's paving the way for these kids to do something different and hopefully really get to know themselves on a deep, deep level.
I got so excited when you were sharing that. Like, how incredible. And I just think about so much of the work that we do as adults is trying to unpick the things that, you know, that we were taught, or even in a wider society level that we pick up on. How incredible that we get to rebuild that from such a young age as well. Although this does bring me to a question. Have you felt at all overwhelmed with like all the advice or conflicting advice or trying to read all the books or, you know, just all get know all the things before he arrives?
Yes. In a word, yes. I haven't even started thinking about parenting books or parenting advice yet. Yeah. So I haven't even started that. I'm still taking in the whole pregnancy thing, to be honest, and preparing for birth. There is so much advice out there, and to be honest, a lot of the mainstream advice I don't resonate with. I feel like there's a lot of fear, a lot of rules, a lot of like, if you don't do this, you're doing it wrong. And I'm just not going to subscribe to that. You know, I'm really just coming into like listening to my intuition, trusting myself, trusting the baby, trusting my womb. And that's always been how I've lived anyway. So I'm reading a couple of books, but I've stopped trying to just like overload myself with information, which I think I did in the first couple of months because I was like, oh my God, this is such a new thing. Like, I need to know everything and make sure I'm not fucking it up.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, wait, I can't fuck this up. Like, we've been doing this for like millions of years. Yes. My body knows what to do.
Yeah.
I actually don't need any of these books because my body actually knows what to do, and I'd be completely fine if I didn't read a single one.
Love it. Because ultimately, like, all those books were written by someone who like fell into that energy, you know, and then shared it. But that energy and that knowledge is already innate within you. You already have all the knowledge and wisdom that you need. It's just about accessing it.
Yeah. I always just come back to like, yeah, I want to do this my own way. Mm. Yeah, no, I don't think I want to follow those rules, which is Aquarius and type 8 on the Enneagram and all the things. But I just, that's just the way I do things.
We love this about you. Trailblazing always. Trailblazing a new way. So, Austin move. What's happening in Costa Rica?
What's happening with Costa Rica?
How are you feeling about Costa Rica?
I mean, I'll always keep going back to Costa Rica. It's where my heart is. Mm. It's where Sean and I met. It's where Rio and I met. And I actually had a look at, I have this like big gallery wall in my living room, just like covered in photos. And I went through all the pictures. There's like about 20 pictures on the wall. Mm. And out of the 20 pictures, 17 of them are in Costa Rica.
Wow.
And I was like, oh.
Wow.
I think that kind of shows like that's really where my heart and soul will always be. Mm-hmm. So I think I'll always be there as well. I always feel limited when I'm in one place, you know? So I think I'll always be there as well. And I have a piece of land. My family are now there.
I wanted to hear
about
this.
Which is like, holy crap. They're just like, it's just heart explosions. Mm. So yeah, there's a lot of my heart there. Mm. So I think it's inevitable that I'll either end up there or just I never really feel like I've left, to be honest.
Yeah. Part of you's always there.
Yeah.
I know part of like, and I was so glad that you brought up your mum and Sean then about them being in Costa Rica. I know a big part of your journey was like also wanting to be able to have this ripple effect with your family, and so much of that is now happening. How are you feeling about this journey that they're embarking on now as well in Costa Rica?
Oh my God, they're having the time of their lives, and they'll text me things to do with like manifestation.
They're like,
oh, we're going to go to the beach and journal, and we're going to write down our dreams, and we're going to write down what we're calling in, and we're going to write down like our idea of the perfect day. And I'm just like, I am so emotional. Like, I'm so proud. And I'm so, because like, honestly, like a couple years ago, I would say to them things like, you guys should retire out in Costa Rica. And they'd be like, can't do that. Too much work to do. Don't have the money. You know, all of these can't. Who's going to look after the cats? Who's going to do this? We can't do that. We've got, you know. And I was like, I'm just going to keep planting the seed and keep letting them know that this is a possibility for them.
Yeah.
And keep showing them what's possible. And this last Christmas, they came out to Costa Rica. They did 3 weeks and it was life-changing for them. And that was when they just got a taste. I think you've got to just go out and try something.
100%.
You know, if you're just like sat at home and you've got this idea of what it's going to look like and you're like, oh, I could never do that because it's just this thing out in the distance. It's just this idea, this dream. Why don't you just book a flight, like go for one trip, see what it's like, see the way that people live. See that could be possible for you. And they did. And they went home and sold their house,
closed down
their business, and they were like, we're retiring in Costa Rica.
And what I love as well is like, it's an example of that you can do it at any point in your life.
Totally.
You know, it's not that it's just something you can do in your 20s or your 30s. You can do it at any point in your life. At any point, you can radically shift everything.
And the two of them, my mom and stepdad, they have really been embodying this like this energy of like these inner children that they're like reclaiming. They're so playful. They're like going out on quad bikes and going to waterfalls and going ziplining, and they're just on the beach all the time. They're playing in rock pools. Like, I've never seen them play so much. And they're like late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah.
And it, they're just so happy. And it reminds me of that quote. And I forget whose quote it is, but it's, you don't stop playing when you get old. You get old when you stop playing.
Ooh.
Something like that.
Yeah,
that's what it reminds me of.
So true.
Yeah.
And bringing that element of joy and play back in. I also think this is a really good example of how much of a manifester you are, though, because for those who don't have Mel directly in their life, if Mel decides something and she's like, just going to plant this seed, just going to drop this here.
Yeah. It's only a matter of time.
It's only a matter of time for it happens. She's basically the most master manifester. So I'm not surprised that you were like planting that seed and surprise, look what ended up happening.
That always is the way. Mm-hmm. That always is the way. We just plant the seed and we just go, okay, I'm just going to plant that seed. And it is a matter of time. If you stay aligned, if you stay on track, if you stay on purpose, if you stay trusting, mm-hmm. and you're just taking the small little steps, you hold that intention. Mm-hmm. God is listening. And, you know, I mean, you kind of got to be careful what you wish for because it happens fast.
Says the pregnant lady.
Exactly. Exactly.
I love this. So what are you manifesting right now?
I'm manifesting a natural, ceremonial, sacred birthing experience that is exhilarating and heart opening and rebirthing. Wow. And magical.
Oh, I see that for you, babe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be calm, it's going to be easeful, it's going to be enjoyable. My body knows exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. My body was born to do this. I'm ready.
It's so amazing hearing you talk about it because I can actually feel your energy around it as well and how you're in that energy of it. You know, I don't feel, and well, I want to ask you, is there any nerves? Is there any kind of like worry about the birthing ceremony?
I'm not afraid of birth. I feel like I've done this a million times before in past lives. I feel like I'm going to know exactly what to do, mm-hmm. and the baby's going to guide me. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I would say comes up as like, oh, I really hope this doesn't happen, is I don't want to end up in a hospital, mm-hmm. but I have to work. I have to surrender that like there may be a reason that I have to go in. There mm-hmm. may be a complication. I have to surrender that. Mm-hmm. I don't get to have it exactly the way that I want it necessarily. Mm-hmm. I have to surrender mm-hmm. because it's not just me. It's not up to me. Yeah. It's up to God mm-hmm. and the baby. How the baby wants to come into this world is how he will come in. Mm-hmm. But no, the actual birth doesn't scare me. Mm. I feel ready for it. I feel like if I went into labor tomorrow, I would know exactly what to do.
I really feel that from you, like with such a strong energy. And I think that's also such a gorgeous example, though, of, you know, having a vision and staying focused on the vision whilst also having that level of surrender and that recognition that, because I think the disappointment comes or the battle comes that if, for whatever reason, which hopefully touch wood, everything, it won't happen. But if it didn't look that way, the battle comes in. It wasn't meant to look like this. This was meant to happen. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
And actually allowing some space and some room for that while still remaining rooted on the outcome that you do want to have.
Yeah. I mean, I had some of that come up when we first were pregnant. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, this is not the way that it's supposed to look. Like, we're supposed to be together for this amount of time. We're supposed to be married. We're supposed to, like, according to who, you know? And I had to really reckon with that side or that those voices and be like, no, actually, like, nothing about my life has been conventional. Mm-hmm. So why would this be conventional? Mm-hmm. You know, nothing about my life has made sense to most people.
I think it would make less sense, actually, for you to have the super conventional, like,
totally.
Interesting.
Totally. At this point, I'm just like, this life is just a really amazing story. And I'm just watching this movie unfold. And I'm just like, sitting with my popcorn, like, this is dope. Like, what comes next? This is cool.
I love this. Sweet or salty popcorn, though?
Both. Oh, mixture of both.
Gotta have mix. Yeah. Love that. Of course.
The answer's always both.
Obviously.
But yeah, in terms of the birth, that's something that I definitely will need to work on. is that release of any guilt or any release of any pictures in my head of like, this is the way that it was supposed to look, because we birth is one of those things that we don't get to control. Mm-hmm. It's the most individual, unique journey for every woman, for every mother, for every baby, and we just have no idea. And I think in a lot of ways, the plant medicine ceremonies that I've been involved in and sat in have prepared me for that. You just go in and you have to surrender. You've got no idea what's going to come up, and you have to just let go.
That's what was really coming to mind for me, like the idea of a ceremony, but also that often the thing that you take from a ceremony isn't something that you necessarily went in asking for. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes there are cases where you go in with your intention, it's really neatly answered, but it's so rare. What tends to happen is you get taken on this unexpected journey, but it's exactly the medicine that you needed.
Yes.
So I feel like just going in with that energy of this is a ceremony, you know, and like, I am going to...
The original shamanic ceremony of life.
Yeah.
It's birth. I mean, could there be any more of a ceremony?
Sometimes it like still blows my fucking mind that you're like growing a human and then it's going to come out of you.
Babe, I know. There's only one way it can come out, but there's several ways it can come out, I guess. But yeah, that's happening right now.
Yeah.
That's happening. Every time like... I hear the heartbeat or like see the scan image of the baby, I'm just like, oh my God, it's still there. Some days, I don't know, it's I think pregnant women listening will understand what I mean. And in that, when you're having your first, it's like, am I imagining this?
Yeah.
Like even like sometimes I have this bump and sometimes I'm just like, I think I'm just a bit bloated.
Guys, know? Mel's not pregnant. She's just eating pizza.
Just eating a lot of pizza. Just exclusive. Eating like burritos. And some days I'm like, no, I've just gained some weight. This is not a baby. And then other days it's like, holy shit. This is like a big ass pregnant bump.
I've heard women doing that. You know, I've heard stories where women take pregnancy tests a lot during it because it does feel so... I want to say alien, but it's not alien because it's natural at the same time. But, you know, it's just this whole new journey and this new process.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm hoping, like, I think, like, in a few weeks, I should get a few kicks, maybe. What is happening right now? Oh, yeah. So I had, cool. like, I had some colostrum appear on both of my nipples, which is like the dry, like, dried milk.
Oh, my God.
But I think colostrum is like what happens before the breast milk starts coming. And when I Googled it, I was like, is this normal? Like the amount of times that I've Googled, is this normal during pregnancy? Normal to be vomiting yellow fluid? Yes, this is very normal during pregnancy. Oh, brilliant.
I think I've Googled some of these things for you at times. You'd be like on the phone to me being like, this is happening. I'm like, I'm sure it's fine, babe. And in the background, I'm just like Googling like, is this normal?
Is this normal to be depressed in the first trimester? Is this normal?
Oh yeah, it says it's fine.
Totally. And it's also like every pregnancy is different. So but yeah, this like dried milk, and when I Googled it was like, you'll start getting this at like, you know, maybe 19 weeks, and I was like, oh my God, I'm like 14 weeks. How is this happening? Like, how am I so early? My boobs are just like, let's go,
we're ready for action,
ready to become the milk factory. So that was like a moment of just like, holy crap, like this body is just full of wonders and magic and miracles. And just like that, my body knows that like milk is going to come out of these babies. Like how? How?
Is this making you see your boobs in a different way?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, my whole body in a different way. Mm. Like the body goes through such a transformation during pregnancy. And as someone that struggled so much with eating disorders and body image for like 7 years, it's been so incredible to like witness my body getting bigger, none of my clothes fitting, none of my bras fitting, like having to buy all new everything that fits, and still being and not having like those moments where like, oh my God, I feel like a whale, oh my God, I feel, you know, like, but just being like, this is what happens during pregnancy, and this is amazing, and this is part of the ride, and I'm here for it.
And did you have you had any moments where there has been a flash of any of that coming in? Has it been, I know you've done this work on such a deep level anyway, but like, has there been any kind of almost like retesting moments, or do you just feel like it's you've just accepted the journey and the process?
Yeah, I would say probably right at the start, like when I was nauseous all the time and when I was feeling depressed, I think that coupled with feeling like I was getting bigger, mm-hmm. but not having like a bump to show for it, mm-hmm. definitely became like, oh my gosh, like here are those old thoughts of like, I'm getting bigger. I feel really low about myself. Mm-hmm. I've got no energy. I feel sick all the time. The combination of all of that was not pleasant.
Yeah.
And I really had to just be patient with myself and loving with myself and just, yeah, just be really kind to myself. Mm. Because I think when you're pregnant, you've got a bump to show for it. Yeah. You're like, oh, you're showing off your bump. And you're like, oh, I'm pregnant. I have this bump. Yeah. But before you have that bump, you just feel like you're growing. You just feel like you're gaining weight. You just feel like every food tastes disgusting. Or like what I was doing was like eating a lot because I felt sick all the time. And I felt like I didn't want to not eat because that actually made me feel worse.
Yeah.
So I was just eating anything that would like calm the nausea. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like I wasn't listening to my body because I felt like I was just eating to like stop the sickness.
Yeah.
You know? And that's not what I'm used to. I'm used to very intuitive, healthy, you know, listening to my body, trusting. And I guess in a way I was doing that, but it just felt like, oh God, I felt heavy with it. So that it definitely came up. And then, but I've had to just be really kind to myself and just really loving and just be like, your body's like doing the most incredible thing ever. Mm-hmm. Like it's going through so many changes. Your hormones are going through so many changes. Of course, this is going to feel wild. Mm. Like, of course, this is going to feel different.
Yeah.
And embrace it. And I kept reading and speaking to like other pregnant friends, and they were like, trust me, trimester two is a whole different world. It's a whole different world. And I was like, all right, you better be right. Mm. And literally, it was like a switch.
Yeah.
As soon as I got into the second trimester, I was just like, oh my God. I woke up feeling like I'm me again.
Yeah.
I'm myself.
Yeah. It was super noticeable as well. Like, I remember you were super sleepy as well and like trimester so one. Tired. Like, you definitely weren't your like normal self, if that makes sense.
Oh my God. I was like falling asleep in the middle of the day, falling asleep at like 5 p.m. and then like passing out, like staying all the way through to like the next morning. You know, those were like my sleeping patterns.
And obviously, we loved you, that version of you as well. But like, then trimester two, you were definitely like, back to yourself, you know, full of energy and like, yeah, it really was like quite a contrast.
Yeah, totally. It was hard, I think, for Sean, because obviously he hadn't known me that long, so I was like, I promise I'm not usually like this. I promise I'm not usually depressed, tired, anxious, moaning, like nauseous, like all of the, this is trimester one. This is not just like the way I am.
You were incredible, babe. And I think it probably felt worse because you were experiencing it. I don't think all the people who loved you on the outside weren't like, oh God, what's got into Mel these days? Yeah. Like, you know? Yeah.
But I mean, I definitely called you a few times just like sobbing down the phone like, I can't believe that I'm having a baby. Like, is this really happening? Like, am I doing the right thing? Like, is this where I'm meant to be? Like, help me, Alex.
This is what I'm here for, though. And I'm probably going to do the same to you at some point. Just be like, bye! Oh, my God.
Everything's so overwhelming.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I do it about other things anyway. So, you know, swings and roundabouts.
That's what best friendship is all about.
Exactly. I love you so much. Mm-hmm. I would love to ask you your questions to end.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I need to get these right now. What are you loving?
What am I loving right now? I'm loving just experiencing pregnancy for the first time. I'm loving the support that I'm getting from women. I'm loving the friendships that I'm creating with pregnant people and new mums. I feel like I'm being invited or welcomed into a new club, the mum club. And it just feels like a new level of understanding from a lot of women in my life. And I'm really enjoying that sisterhood. It's like that, oh yeah, we get it. We've been there. Feels really nice. And from my community as well. Like I've got a lot of mums in my community, probably a lot of mums that listen to this podcast. And the acceptance and the welcoming and the excitement, that's really touched me. Like, I love that a lot.
so beautiful, so amazing. What turns you on? Or what turns you on right now?
Right now, I wanted, honestly, like, this is kind of like a repeat of the last question, a repeat of the last answer, but like, I feel quite turned on by my pregnant body.
Love that.
I feel quite turned on by like the new curves that I have. And like, I'm like massaging this like body oil into my body, which is like a new body in many ways. And I'm like, oh my God, like my boobs are so round and my thighs are so, you know, have become more strong and more big and actually more soft as well. And my belly is now this like this big pregnant belly, and it feels really sexy. And so I really enjoy just like touching my new body and like appreciating it and feeling it and looking at it every morning and being like, whoa, there it is. Different and pregnant. And it's sexy. Yeah. The other night I had a FaceTime with Sean and I was in the bath and he was like just admiring my new pregnant body in the bath. And I was like looking at it in FaceTime. And I was like, damn, girl, you look good. Yeah.
I love that. I think it's so beautiful to witness yourself, but sometimes also having that moment of someone else witness you in that and just being like, hell yeah.
Yeah. And I think I'm just really proud of myself because of like all the body image stuff that I've overcome, like after so many years of eating disorders and all the things. Like, I just feel proud of myself to be able to love my body in all these changes.
So incredible, babe. Yeah. And what feels magic to you?
What feels magic to me? Gosh, this whole journey, it's such a roller coaster, but there's just magic along every single way. I mean, hearing the heartbeat for the first time was like one of the most magical moments of my entire life. I just couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, there's something living. There's something alive.
There's two hearts in you.
Yes. I was like, wait, who's the second one?
I was like, babe,
we're not having twins. I was like, oh yeah, mine. Yeah, yeah, that was a really magical moment. This whole experience so far has been such a roller coaster, and there's just magic along every single step of the way. And I think it's easy for the fear to creep in. It's easy for the questioning to creep in. It's easy for the anxiety to creep in and like, what's going to happen in the future? And I need the answers. And I always come back to like the magic of this. I feel so blessed to have been able to get pregnant when so many women struggle with fertility. So many women are just, oh, just want a baby so bad. And, you know, it's taking time and there are challenges. And I just feel so blessed. And the way that it happened felt so magic. And so I always come back to remembering the magic. And that really helps me.
I love that, babes. And I love you. And I just want to take this moment to just say how freaking incredible you are. Like, you have the biggest heart. You are so loving. You do so much for all of us in your life. You bring so much magic. And if you even bring an ounce of that magic to this baby's life, they're going to be the luckiest baby in the entire world.
Oh,
and
babe,
just have so much awe for you as well, just seeing you go through this journey. And yes, interviewing you like this, but like, I see all the behind the scenes stuff and you stand in such integrity with everything that you share, in terms of you are a living, breathing embodiment of leaning into trust and having faith and moving towards this vision and having faith and loving again as well, you know? It's just incredible. So I love you. You're so, so, so beyond amazing. And I'm excited for this whole journey for you.
Thank you, babe. I love you so, so much. And this was so much fun and so incredible. Thank you.
I love you. And I'll probably be next door soon.
Yes, please move next door. So my loves, I hope that you loved that episode. If you did, please do share it on Instagram. I would love to see your story tags of you listening to the episode. We love to hear which episodes you guys have loved the most. Please also make sure that you leave us a juicy review on Apple, iTunes, or the podcast app, because that means so much to me and it really helps this podcast spread far and wide. So thank you so much for listening. I love you. I hope your week is filled with love, sex, and magic. And I'll see you next time.